Kabbalah say, there's a rule that we already got acquainted with in Daf Dalet. Elashin Nitzaklah say is one of, and we all saw it in the earlier Daf on Daf Yigimon Beis as part of the Shakta Vatari in the Gemara, that Elashin Nitzaklah say is different than an ordinary lav and would not get Malkus. And exactly what is the definition of Nitzaklah say? We're going to have to see more about that and the Svarish behind it. And when, in fact, one could get Malkus even by Elashin Nitzaklah say. So it's going to open up a lot of interesting sugyas. But let's start, you know, Keseder as the beginning of the sugya begins to unfold. Tashin Gemara. Amar Rabba Baba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Baba Chana quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the following halacha. Kol lo sha'ase shekadmo asei, lokin alav. If you have a lav, shekadmo asei, that the asei precedes it. Dear Rabbi Yochanan's Mechadesh, that you get Malkus. In other words, we know the default idea that we're thinking about is that a lav shenitak la'asei, if there's an asei that's associated with the lav, if the lav is somehow connected, linked in some way to an asei, we have to see the precise language of nituk la'asei, exactly what that suggests. But the idea that an asei that the Torah would link in some way to a lav normally would not get malchus if the lav has an asei linked to it. But Rabbi Yochanan phrases the following idea: if it's a lo sha'ase shekadmo asei, if the asei precedes the lav, then there is malchus. Now, there's a shaila exactly how to understand the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Before we read the Rashi quickly, the simple reading of the Gemara and the pashtus of the Hemshach Gemara in the reading of the next example mentioned soon in the Gemara would seem to suggest that the point of kadmo has to do with it, the way that the asei is positioned in the Chumash. In other words, the classic example of a lav shenitak la'asei, you could say, would be nosar. Nosar is, the Torah tells us, on the one hand, lo sar shir mimenu ad boker, but immediately right afterwards, the Torah says, ve'hanosar mimenu ad boker ba'esh tishrofu. Here you have a lav, and we have an asei that the Torah positions immediately after the lav. And so the push of Shah in the Gemara, this is what Tosus certainly thought in the question that Tosus is going to ask Gizela, and we'll have to see carefully in Rashi what Rashi holds on this. But the push of Shah in the Gemara is that when do we say the rule that Lashon Nitzaklah say and you won't get Malkus, that's only if the Asay is written in the Torah after the Lav. But if the Asay is written in Chumash before the Lav, then it doesn't have the din of a lashanitak lasei. That's called a lo sha'ase shekadmo asei. That's the simple reading, and that would be what it seems from the Rabbeinu Hananel, and it would seem at first glance from reading the Gemara. However, look at Rashi. Rashi seems to say something a little different, or at least he introduces possibly another factor. Now, let's see exactly how Rashi is masbir, and through this Rashi, can begin to build a little bit about the idea behind. What do we know right now? We know that Lashonitagashi doesn't get Malkus. We don't have much in the way of understanding why that should be so. The only indication that we had so far regarding why it wouldn't have Malkus, and this is something we're going to come back to at the end of Amid Aleph and Tezbab Amid Aleph, but let's remember what we've seen so far, at least this little much, as part of a Shakamitarya within Rabbi Yishmael on Yudim Amidbeis that we learned together. Rabbi Yishmael, one of the holds that all lavin, even a lav that comes with an onesh from Nisas Beis Din, would also be subject to Malkus. Initially, the Gemara explains that even if the person will in fact be getting the onesh of Malkus because it was asprah for, the onesh of Misa because it was asprah for Misa, nonetheless, they'll get Malkus as well, assuming that the asprah for Malkus, it seems from Rashi. The Gemara quoted a drasha from the Mosishma Lassos, the Ifla Shemes Makoscha, but from that the Gemara continues and says that that's Marva, all Averos, even Nisus Basin, so why not go and even include things like, the Gemara asks an Asay, the Gemara asks Malash Ebel Maisa, and finally the Gemara asks Malash Nitak Lassay. And the answer to that third question was that the reason why Lashon Nitzak La'asei cannot get Malkus, says the Gemara, because you need a lav that's dumya de lav de chasima. And because a Lashon Nitzak La'asei is not comparable, it's not analogous to the classic lav of Losafstom, which is the Aveira, the Torah mentions right next to it, mamish in the Malchus will suffer short to do so. That's the profile of a lab that gets Malchus. So therefore, Lashon Nitzaglas say falls short of that standard of being Dumya de Lab de Chastima. The Gemara uses that to answer also for Engel Meister and for an Asay as well. So the little that we know right now, and of course we have to be master more, but we know that Lashon Nitzaglas say is unlike Lab de Chastima, and that's what the Gemara says earlier in terms of why it doesn't get Malchus. From this Rashi, immediately, we're going to get more of a perspective of what exactly is a Lashon Nitzaglas say and why doesn't it get Malchus, and what makes Rav Yochanan's case different that you will get Malchus. So let's look carefully at Rashi. Kolo sase shekadmo asay, lokin alav. Ha asa lashmeina. Rav Yochanan is coming to tell us the following. The afilu leman de omar, Lashon Nitzaglas say en lokin alav. Even according to the one who holds, Lav HaNitzaglas say doesn't get Malchus. Now Rashi is interesting. Rashi's masper that there's machlokas about this. That's also something new that we wouldn't have necessarily known. We would have assumed before reading this Gemara that this is a davar that everybody agrees to. There's no machlokas regarding this. Gabi Lav Shinibo Maisa, we know that there's a machlokas in the sugyas that we had earlier in the first paragraph of Dalit. And we know the Lav Shinibo Maisa, possibly Rabbi Yehuda holds Lokin Allah. But in regard to Lav HaNitzaglas say, we wouldn't have known there's a machlokas. Lush and Rashi indicate that there is a machlokas. We have to know where Rashi got that from. But Rashi says, even Lamanda Amma, Lav HaNitzaglas say in Lokin Allah. And how do we know that? Where do we see such a Manda Amma Kidisanya? We have the Bryce of Ososim Emmanuel Banosar Tisrofu. It's a little bit more Rashi abridges the Pasik. It's Ososim Emmanuel Boker. Banosar Emmanuel Boker, but it's Tisrofu. Ba Kasav Witin Asay Achalos Asay. The Pasik is coming to attach an Asay after the last. Lo Mash Ein Lokin Alav. Rashi explains further. So Nita Ka Kasav Es Asay. The Torah plugs the Asay, attaches Asay. Leo's own show Selag Vitikuno, interesting way Rashi's Master, Lav HaNitzaglas say, the Torah connects the assay and attaches it to the Lav to show you that this is the proper corrective, this is the proper onus for the Lav and the way to remedy it. You did the Lav, and now the remedy for having done the Lav is to do this, these are your instructions. Lomar, lo shasekach, the imasisa asezosi pater. In other words, the way to spare you any further consequences, the damage control that the Torah is giving us in the wake of a law that violated, is the damage control. This is the onus. This is the remedy. Do the asay, the pater. The Rashi is mavliya, as part of explaining Rabbi Yochanan, he's mavliya, the toch dvarav, the basic framework of why Lav HaNitzaglas say doesn't get Malchus. Rashi tells us because the assay becomes the quote ones and the tikkun of the Lav. And so it's just to say that this is what I'm telling you, this is the corrective, and with this you'll be off the hook from any other consequences. So that's why we know you don't get Malchus if there's a Nitzaglas say. Again, we have to know how does this lore of Rashi square with the sugya that we saw that you give on the days, where the Gemara says matter of factly that the problem in Lav HaNitzaglas say is that it's not Dumya de Lav de Chastima, so we have to hold this in our heads, that Rashi is giving us something of a hesber, and the Gemara before gave us something different. But meanwhile, Rashi says that's the idea of Lav HaNitzaglas say, and there's a Manda Omar, Rashi says, that holds that way, as if there's another Manda Omar that's Oleg, other Diyuk and Rashi. Comes Rav Yochanan now and steps in and says, within that idea, there is an exception to the rule that's not going to be called a Lav HaNitzaglas say. The Ashneim and Rav Yochanan. Hani Mili. When is this said? Ba'asei habo achar halav. The Yochanan's lashon is Lav Shekadmo Asei. So that, what does that mean? That as opposed to Lav HaNitzaglas say, where Asei is for achar halav. It's that Asei comes after the Lav. So Rashi continues. And now what would we say? If we stopped right now, we would say, what does it mean, Asay Haba Achar Halav, the way we read the Gemara? Asay Haba Achar means that the Torah writes the Lav, and right after writing the Lav, there is the Torah says the Asay, Losa Sim Menu Aboker, and then the Torah says, I know some Menu Aboker. to yochel kaimo ela achar abeiras halav. The Rashi seemingly is now defining what differentiates Rava Nitika say from Rava Kodma say in what regard that the aseh bo achar halav means into yochel kaimo ela achar abeiras halav. That you can't fulfill the aseh if you before you violate the law. The aseh only makes sense. The aseh only has relevance post the aveira. So that's when we fit into the category of Rav Hanitaka say that the aseh only has application and can only be fulfilled in a practical way after the law. Example, of course, is what Rashi just alluded to with Nosa. You can't talk about the mitzvah, I say, of burning nosar unless you first have violated the law of leaving over the basar, which makes it into nosar, and now you have the assay to do something with that nosar that was left over. Avo assay shekadam et halav. But if you have an assay that's before the law, ve'ata yachol kaimo kodam averis halav. Now, this vav, we have to understand what to make of this vav of Rashi. Before, Rashi didn't have a vav. Rashi says, "Hani mili ha'aseh abo achar alav she'ein atayochol l'kaimo." The lav that's not called kodmo aseh, but nitak l'aseh, means that it's iatayochol l'kaimo achar beres alav. Rashi says, "But alav aseh shekodem es alav ve'atayochol l'kaimo." We have to know whether to make anything of this vav. For now, let's leave the vav on the side. Rashi, the hainu, in other words, aseh shekodem es alav, meaning ve'ata yochol kaimo kodem beres alav, and you can be mekayim this mitzvah of the aseh even without violating up, even prior to avera up, ein ze nituk halav. That aseh is not called a nituk. It's not called that the lav has a tag onto it with the aseh. As Rashi said before, which the aseh becomes a corrective, the onesh that do this vihi patin, and therefore in a case like that, where the aseh was kodem es halav, which means that wa the ati yochol kaimo kodem beres halav, then afilu tekaimenu achar beres halav long as kadem namalkus. So even if you would be mekayim the aseh afterwards, that does not exempt you from malkus, because in order to be exempt from malkus, it has to fit this profile that the Torah is saying, I want this aseh to be the corrective to the lav, and this is what you'll do, and with that, you're off the hook, you've done your damage control, this is what will spare you any further consequences. But when does that make sense? It makes sense only if the aseh could not have been fulfilled before the lav, and in which case we can understand readily that by putting the aseh in connection to the lav, the Torah is trying to direct you to understand that this is the tikkun. This is the remedy, and this is therefore going to steer you any other possible consequence. However, if the assay, if there was a lashe kodmo assay, if the assay could have just as well been fulfilled before the law was violated, so then we don't look at this assay through the same prism. We don't look at it as a assay that the Torah wants to be viewed as the onesh and the tikkun and the way to steer you other things, because obviously, you could have done it without the lav, so it just happens to be an assay that's out there. But it's not viewed as the targeted sequence for the lav, in which case the malchus is still in order. So, kachu rush and Rashi. So, the rush of Rashi's distinction seems to be based on the question of whether the assay could have had relevance to be fulfilled before the lav was violated. And if so, then it's not a lav anitika, say it's Rashi Kodmo say, and the reasoning there being that you can't say this assay was meant to spare you the malchus as the directives, as the correctives, because after all, it could have been done without the lav. Whether Rashi might also subscribe to some other element, some other aspect, is hard to know. The most you could hang your hat on if you wanted to plug into Rashi, possibly the more literal meaning of the words of the Gemara, is that extra vav. We'll have to see if we make much of it. There are achronim that do, and the Ritva, on the other hand, doesn't seem to see Rashi in any other way except for the way that Rashi seems to be focused on, which is the distinction of whether you could or couldn't have fulfilled the assay beforehand. The problem is, we're going to run into an issue in the Hemshach HaGemara in just a minute, that L'Chorah would have implications that to Rabbi Babachana Amar of Yochanan. Amrulo. So they said to him, Amarta, did you say this? Amruhu, well, he said, I didn't say it. He didn't say it. He didn't want to admit that he said such a thing. And the Gemara can explain why he didn't want to admit to it, because he had a problem with this rule from something else, somewhere else. Who exactly is being asked and who's answering? Machokes, Rashi, and the Ritzvah. Rashi learns, Amru lo acherem sheshamu mishmo lo shamu mitiv. Amar tadavazeh. Amalehem lo chazarbo. So according to Rashi, who is the one that is denying that he ever said this? Rabbi Yochanan himself. In other words, Rabbi Bachana quoted Rabbi Yochanan. So Rashi says, Amru lo, others who heard it named Rabbi Yochanan, asked Rabbi Yochanan, did you really say such a rule that Lav Shekadmo say Lokin Alav? They didn't hear from Rabbi Yochanan himself, and Rabbi Yochanan at that point had second thoughts, as the Gemara is going to explain why he had second thoughts, and he said, I never said it. Interesting. He denied what he ever said, what he once said. The other way to learn the Gemara, and there's going to be an advantage to learn this pshat for a number of reasons, but it does suggest that maybe this Amrullah wasn't Rabbi Yochanan himself, but was rather Rabbi Baba Chana, who was quoting Rabbi Yochanan, and he was protective of his Rebbe's kavod. So when they asked Rabbi Baba Chana, did you really say this name, by name Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said such a thing? So Rabbi Baba Chana didn't want to own up to that which he thought, what he originally reported in Rabbi Yochanan, because of the problem that he ran into. This is a shaila exactly how to understand the Amru Lo and the Amar Lehem Lo. Meanwhile, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabba, I will keep Amra. Whoever is denying that Rabbi Yochanan said it, whether Rabbi Yochanan denies it, according to Rashi, or Rabbi Chana denied Rabbi Yochanan said it, but Rabbi says, I can be sure that Rabbi Yochanan did say it, and he happens to be correct. And I have a proof to this yisod. Ha'elokim is a shvua. Amr that he said it, uksiva utanina. It's written, and there's a mishnah to support it. Now, uksiva utanina doesn't mean what you might otherwise think. It means I have a raya from a pasuk, and I have a second raya from the mishnah. It's not two separate rayas. It's built on the two together, as Rashi explains. Uksiva utanina, meaning matinu kashuv lo sase shekadmu asay. It's written, meaning I can find indication in a text, in the Chumash, of that a classic example, lo shekadmu asay. Petanina nalei, and we have a Mishnah that's speaking about that very case, the Lokin, and the lo sase the kiyam asay. It's not enough for the person just to be asay, but they actually will get a malchus. So what exactly is this ksiva utanina? What example does Rabba bring? Shiva, it's written as the following, the halacha of Shiruach Temeim from the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, this is here because it's in our Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to be quoted in a second. It says in the pasuk, Nishalchu min HaMachaneh, right? It says in the pasuk that in Parshas Naso, as a matter of fact, and that's the next coming week's Shabbos, Parshas Naso, so you have at Shlishi, the pasuk tells us that there's a din, a mitzvah, v'shalchum and amachana kol tzeruah v'chol zah v'chol tamei lo nafesh. That is the mitzvah to take tameyim out of the various precincts that they're not allowed to be in. Included in that is those who are nishtarach from all three machanos, or meaning even from the machaneh, or from the machaneh shechina, is the one that we're discussing here, the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara. V'shalchum and amachana, that's the asheh. The lo yitamos machaneim, and it says subsequently in that parsha that there's an aveira of lo yitamos machaneim. So we have an example that Rabba is now identifying as a lash of kadmo asay. And we have Tanina, habo mikdash tamei. In the list of our malkios and dafyu gimel, we have habo mikdash tamei, which is an aveira that gets malkis. And we know the azhara. The azhara is lo yitamos machaneim. As we saw in the sukkah just before, right? Lo yitamos machaneim is the azhara for a person who's bought mikdash tamei. The problem is, how can there be malchus according to the rule that lashon nitzah glasei doesn't get malchus? Why would this Here, there's no Rashi. And here we have to start fishing for ourselves. Exactly why does the Gemara assume, does Rava assume that this is an example of a Rashi Kod Moeseh? So without having read the Rashi that we just read, the answer would be quite simple, and that would be the sense that you get from reading the Rabbeinu Hananel and the process of reading the Gemara. In other words, if the Torah puts the Aseh in the Chumash first, if you open up the Pasuk and Pasuk in Aseh, so it says, that'll be somebody, Shalchu min ha-machane, kosarua v'chosav, and so on. And then it says, further, v'lo yitamus machaneyem. So the Torah puts the Aseh first in the Pasuk, and after that, the Torah puts the Lach. So that's a Lach of Kodmo Aseh, and that's why he woke it up. Okay, that's all nice and well if we read the Gemara the way we originally wanted to read the Gemara. But we read Rashi, and we got the sense from Rashi that the notion of Kodmo Aseh, as opposed to Nitak Aseh, is a function of whether the Aseh could have been fulfilled prior to violating the law. So at first glance, what would you think over here? The Aseh of Yishalchu min ha-machaneh exists before the Lo Yitamus Machaneim, or only in the wake of a person who violates the law of Lo Yitamus Machaneim? When does Shiloh Machanos come into existence? When is the mitzvah relevant? When is it applicable? Seemingly only after the law is violated. So then why does the Gemara assume that this is called a law Shekad Moaseh, and it's a right of Yochanan? According to Rashi's formulation, how do you understand this Gemara? This is an important question we'll soon see in the Ritzvah. We'll have to see. Now, if we start defining it in terms of the way it's written in the Torah, then of course, we have a solution. Another note, we have to know. Does that mean that the only definition is that of what is written in the Torah? Or could the other variable also be relevant? In other words, this is what we'll see in a minute in the Ritva. It could be that either of these formulas could be enough to take it out of the category of Lava Nita Glasseh and to frame it as a Lashikad Glasseh. Namely, if either of the above were the case, either the assay could have been fulfilled before the Lav was violated, right? That would be one way to view it as a lav shekad moaseh, and you would get malchus. But even if it's a situation that the assay can only be fulfilled after the lav is violated, but you're not out of the woods yet, because it could also be called a kad moaseh from another perspective, namely if the Torah put the assay in the chumash before the lav. If we were to say that, we'd also be able to explain the Gemara. In other words, we don't have to automatically ignore what Rashi said about defining Lav Shekad Moaseh in terms of the fact that you could have fulfilled the Aseh before violating the Lav, but in this case you couldn't, Chora, at first glance you couldn't fulfill the Aseh until you violated by Yitamus Machaneim, but it could be just the fact that sufficient before would have also been sufficient. Or maybe that's the only issue involved. This is all possible. Let's go as follows. Let's see the Tosis, and then we'll come back and see the Ritva, the Das Rashi, and everything else.
Rabbi, can I ask a question on Rashi?
Please, of course. It's for Yonasan. Let's hear.
It's the first Rashi. I just want to understand how it works. What does Rashi mean when he says Liyos Onsho Shalav? That it is the Onish of the Lav. He's saying like that it's a type of like kapara for the Lav. And like this is acting as an onesh, now he has kapara, and therefore he's no longer a chayiv for this law.
Onesh doesn't have to mean kapara. Onesh means a consequence. There's an atara, and then there is the response to the atara. Having done that, you get slapped with a particular onesh, meaning this is what is to happen now. So the onesh just means that's what's to be done. If the Torah says do the assay, that's what's to be done right now. Maybe as follows. I'm just thinking aloud whether we should do the Ritva first. Maybe let's do the Ritva first. Okay, we're already discussing it. Let's look at the Ritva together and see how the Ritva learned Rashi, how we might be able to learn Rashi you a little bit differently, and then we'll get to the doses soon enough. Okay. The mitzvah comments as follows. If everyone take a look with me at the mitzvah together. Amar Rabba Babachana Rabbi Yochanan, Kolo Sashi Shabbatora Shekarmo Ashei Lokin Allah. So he quotes Rashi, here's Rashi's out. Kolo Sashi Shiesh Imo Ashei, Ve'ata Yachol Akaim Ashei, Kodem Akira Salat. If you could fulfill your say before the lab was violated, Akira Salat meaning that lab being violated, that you were okir it, you did it, went against the Torah. Ein Zendito Glasei Zalokin Allah. Even if you might actually be fulfilling the essay practically afterwards, but you could have done it before. The Hechidami Nituk, what is the example of Nituk? Higon Loso Siru, that's the example that we did find in Arashi. Inami Beheshev Esagzela Adkan. Now it's interesting, the Ritva quoted in his version of Rashi another example. This is going to be very relevant to Tosfos soon enough. Beheshev Esagzela. Now, from the perspective of the definition that the Ritva is attributing to Rashi, what would you say, let's speak out outside, it would be helpful for Tosfos, what would we say about the Hesher V'Sagzela? So let's ask ourselves. There's a lav of L'sigzo, there's an asay of Hesher V'Sagzela. By all standards, we assume that the Hesher V'Sagzela is an asay that's menatek the lav of L'sigzo, and L'sigzo would not get malchus. Because it's nita glase. Now, by what definition would you understand lo sigzo to be a lav shen nita glase? So, what the Ritva is reading in Rashi is obviously because you cannot fulfill the heishev v'sagzela if you didn't violate lo sigzo. The heishev v'sagzela means you have a zela, you stole something, and now the Torah says, here is the glase that I want you to act upon in the wake of having violated zela. So it's mamish, a perfect example, analogous to lo sosir men laboker, but nosa ve'esh nesrofu. You made something into nosa, and now the Torah says, now that it's nosa, you have to burn it. You stole something, that's a Torah ve'esh nesakzela. Now, if we were to think ourselves about the other definition of kadmo asay in terms of that the Torah wrote the asay before the lav, and nita klasay means the Torah wrote the asay after the lav, so what would we say about Lo Sigzo? What do we know about our Chumash, everybody? Where's the Pasuk for Lo Sigzo appear in the Chumash? And where does the Heshem appear? Does it appear in the Heshem appear after Lo Sigzo or before Lo Sigzo? In the Seder HaTorah. And where's it in the Heshem?
Mishpatim?
Or before? What?
Mishpatim?
So you could say we know the answer from Tosfos, but that would be cheating answer, right? Where is it say Lo Sigzo? Not Mishpatim. Where is it say Lo Sigzo? Close. There's another parasha that's full of mitzvahs also. It's Sefer Vayikra. And that is what?
Emor?
Kedoshim.
The parasha is Kedoshim. So the parasha, it's the first aliyah of Kedoshim, Lo Sigzo. Lo Sasho Kesveacha Lo Sigzo. So it says Lo Sigzo as a lav in Kedoshim. It doesn't say the Heshiv after that, before that. Where's the Heshev V'Sagzela in Chumash?
Okay.
In Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, at the very end, in the Parsha of Hashem Gzelos, where it talks about somebody who denies that which he has money of somebody else, and then he swears falsely, and then he's Moshe, and there's a halacha, he has to do a number of things, and one of those things is the Heshev V'Sagzela Shagazal, or it's Oshik HaShoshak, whatever type of money he's withholding, he has to return. And he also has to pay a chomesh, and he also has to bring a carbon Hashem Gezelos if he swore falsely that he didn't owe the money. But meanwhile, that is the famous Heshev V'Sagzela Shegazal, Parshas Vayikra. So from the perspective of where the Torah puts the assay in the Torah, really, you would want to understand the Heshev V'Sagzela and Lo Sigzo as Lav Shekadmo assay that would get malchus. So from what perspective could we explain Lo Sigzo to be a lav shen nita glase? And the answer is because from the formulation that Rashi is giving, that the definition of kadmo asay is, could you or could you have fulfilled this asay had you not violated the lav before you violated the lav? And on that count, it's obvious that Lo Sigzo can only be fulfilled after Lo Sigzo is violated. So although Rashi didn't mention Losa Firu. In the case of Nosar, you actually have both issues. You have the classic Mitzvah say that it can only be fulfilled, say, after the Lav is violated, and it also happens to be perfectly mentioned after the Lav. The Ritzvah quoted Rashi, notice, he quoted Adkan, he quoted Rashi as giving two examples of a Nitzvah say as opposed to a Kadmor say. The first example is Nosar, the second example is Gezel. So the way the Ritzvah is quoting Rashi, clear that what Rashi would be saying, in other words, is that what is the issue of Kadmo Asay versus Nita Glassay? It's a function of whether you could or couldn't fulfill the Asay prior to violating the Lev. The Nir Medivir Abeinu, it appears from what, again, what the Ritva quoted in Rashi, the Kadmo Asay Damav Yochanan, Loso Darish Ekwadmo Akasav, that doesn't help you. That's not the end of the story, Kadmo Akasav. Even if it's written in the pasuk afterwards, even if it's written afterwards, that doesn't do anything for you. Since you could have fulfilled the assay in terms of beforehand, in terms of sequence of acting in maise, as opposed to in the pasuk, in maise you could have done the assay first. And therefore, that's what Rashi holds. Now, let's see what the Ritzvah does with this. Now, the Ritzvah is going to open up another example. We talked about No Sir, we talked about Shiguach Tanayim, we talked about Losikso, right? Now, another thing to put on the table here. V'hachin mashma v'adai, this is certainly very much mashma, and the Ritzvah brings an example that's going to be a Mishnah later in Makis, and it's the last Mishnah, or the next to last Mishnah, it's the last Mishnah, I believe, in Chulin, Kuf Memalos in Chulin. What's the example? The Rabbi Yoch, the Rabbi Yehuda, Lav the Shiloh HaKein Lo Kinala. What's the Torah say by Shiloh HaKein? Lo Sika Chaim Alabanim, Shaleach Tisharach Esa'e. So there, the violation of the Lav is, if you take the mother, we'll have to see specifically what exactly the Avera is. Let's say now one way, if you take the mother while she's on the chicks, that's the Aver Losika Chaim Alabanim. Shaleach Tisharach is the mitzvah shashay to send the mother away. So the Tanakhama holds in that Mishnah, again, it's a Mishnah later by Yash as well, Daf Yud Zayin, you'll see it there. Anoto Im Alabanim, Rav Yehuda says, Loke Ve'ena Mishaleach, Bacham Omim Shaleach Ve'ena Loke. The Chachanim say there's no Malkus, because it's a Lav Shenita Glasei, because the Masei is the Mishaleach, and after you violate Lo Sikach, the Torah says what you should do now is to be Mishaleach the mother. If you took the mother, now the Torah gives you Mishaleach the Shalach. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Lo Kedein Mishaleach. What's the Pshan Rabbi Yehuda? So, the first says, we explain in Chulin, or Parish the time of the Duchta, he means Chulin, should do it today, Shaleach Meikara Mashma. Shaleach is mashma kodesh Yehuda initially. In other words, when you chant upon the nest, the Torah says two things. The Torah says you have a mitzvah of shaleach eseim, and you have an avera lo sikach eim alabanim. The shaleach already exists, even if you didn't yet take the mother. There's already right now the possibility of ni mekayim diaseh. So Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, therefore, that it's not going to be called a lash and nita glasei because shaleach meikara mashma. Shaleach already exists even before the lash is violated. The afagat of shebasa losikach, even though it's written afterwards, losikach ha'em alabonim shaleach tishalach, Rabbi Yehuda says shaleach tishalach is going on before. Rabbanim sabi shaleach lubesov mashma. So let's just explain the raya of the Ritva. There's something here that's a chidush in understanding Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Shiloh HaKein, which again we'll have to go and revisit. And that's the following. What is the Ritva proving from Shiloh HaKein to what he just said? In other words, even though the Torah says, gives you the assay written in the Chumash after the Lav, it's still not going to be called a Lav Shenita Glasei, because as long as the assay could have been fulfilled beforehand, even though it's written afterwards. What's his raya? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds, if the Shiloh, Rabbi Yehuda Chacham is, does Shalach the Shalach apply before the Aver is violated? According to the Chachamim, the mitzvah Shalach the Shalach is only applicable, it's only relevant, it only exists after you violate the law of Lo Sikach. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shalach the Shalach applies even before you violate Lo Sikach. So what does the mitzvah say? So it must be that you see that we call it a lav shekad melashay, even if it's written afterwards. For the Ritzvah to bring this raya from Rabbi Yehuda, what must the Ritzvah be assuming about the mitzvah shaleach d'shalach, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Does the mitzvah exist after he violates Lo Sikach? Fulfillment of the mitzvah she has the contract of Yehuda after Lo Sikach. Yes or no?
Yes, but he could do it before also.
Excellent. In other words, the Ritzvah, there's something in this Ritzvah to notice. The Ritzvah is assuming that that which the Gemara explains, that a contract of Yehuda, the reason why he'll get Malkus if he takes violates Lo Sikach is because Shaleach Neikara Mashma, the Ritzvah takes that to mean that the mitzvah does in fact exist after Lo Sikach, but it also equally exists before Lo Sikach, making it into a lav shekad melashay. And even though it's written afterwards, but since it could have also been fulfilled without violating the lav, that's enough to get Malkus, and that's a raya to what he sees in Rashi, that kad melashay is already, can be viewed as such, by virtue of the fact that the mitzvah could have been fulfilled even without violating the lav. But if I were to ask you, after he did Lo Sikach, does there exist a mitzvah for the person to shaleach as the ein? Absolutely. So why doesn't he get exempted from Malkus if he does that? Because it's a lav shekad melashay, because the mitzvah could have been fulfilled even without Lo Sikach, without violating. However, one could have read the Gemara very differently. One could have said that according to Yehuda, the mitzvah of Aseret Pesach is only relevant and only applicable at the very beginning. It could be once a person violates Lo Sikach, there is no longer any assay that exists for the person. The Torah is saying, from the very get-go, you have a mitzvah Shaleach Pesach and you have an affair of Lo Sikach. Now, you violate Lo Sikach, there's no longer Shaleach Pesach that exists anymore. If we were to understand Rabbi Yehuda that way, the mitzvah has no raya anymore to what he's saying. Because the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says you get Malkus once you violate Lo Sikach is because there is no assay at all that exists right now. Not because there's an assay, but that assay is not a nitak assay because he could have done it even before the Lo Sikach. If there is no assay, period, yes, you get Malkus. From the Ritzvah, we see that he understood the fear of Yehuda, that the fact that Lokav and Mishalim is because the very Shalech Mishalim that does exist after Lo Sikach also exists before, and that's exactly what Rashi is saying over here. But that's a chidush, in pshat. One could have understood Rabbi Yehuda differently. Okay? In fact, the Ritzvah Rashi, the Kashali, he asked the Kashali that we ourselves were omitted on in the Gemara. The Kashali, the Imkain, my high the Mishayina and Leger of Yochanan the Stamuch, me the Ksiva the Tanina, the Abel Mikdash Tane. What is it that we're proving a right of Yochanan? The Rabbi says he for sure is correct because of Bal Mikdash Tanei, the Hassan. So what do you see over there that you get Malkus for Bal Mikdash Tanei, and even though Chayre is a lav shenita glasei, the answer is it's a lav shekadmo lasei. But the kasha is the Hassan. Here the Shal the Gears of the Hassan Bishalchu. With the self sieve or the self mask with low meikara, they have to fix the lesson here. What does he mean? What he means to say is, it's obvious what the Ritzvah is asking. I don't know if you have any Hagon your Ritzvah. What does it say in the Kovetz? I'm reading it from the new Ritzvah, but it doesn't mean. What the Ritzvah obviously means to ask is that the Shalchu is only a nasei, it can only exist as a mitzvah, but after the violation of Lo Yitanu. So why would it be called Kadmo Asay? The Asay is not possible to be fulfilled before you violate the law. Again, the Gersa somehow is Mishubas, that they had to read it in the words. would have a, I don't know, in the comments, is it read any differently, or it's just a... But the reverse, driving at this Chora from that Gemara, you see a different chat in Kadmar say that the point of the Shalvu is that it's written before the Rav of Lo Yitamush Machaneh. So you see that what the fine Kadmar say is not what we're saying within Rashi, the fact that he could fulfill the mitzvah before, and that's not correct. The Shalvu can only be fulfilled after Lo Yitamush. But rather, what seems to be the Kaveh over there is the fact that the Torah wrote the Shalchu in the Torah before the Torah wrote the Lo Yitamu. That's the Ritva's Kasha on what he brings from Rashi. Okay, so what is the Ritva answer? Two answers. The Yishlomar, Shekosha Kodmo B'Ksiva, Su Lo B'Inan Kodmo B'Maisa. Ella de Amina, the Kosha Kodmo B'Maisa, Abishem Ucha B'Ksiva. So what's the Ritva do? He's tweaking what he said before. Until now, he was assuming that the sole criteria to say something is called Kadmol Asay and you'll get Malkus is the question of whether you could fulfill the Asay even before violating the Lav. That would be one way to understand it, and that would be supported by Shiluach HaKein, that the fact that you see you could violate, and here the Stib Rabbi Yehuda, at least by Shiluach HaKein, the fact that you could fulfill the Asay before violating the Lav, even though you also have you fulfill it afterwards, that's the notion of Kadmol Asay. The problem is, what do you do with Shiluach Machanos? Now what the Ritva is saying is, it could be called Kadmol Asay in one of two ways. In one of two ways. If you could fulfill the Asay without buying the Lav, then even if it's written after the Lav, that would be still called Kadmol Asay. The proof to that would be Rabbi Yehuda Shiluach HaKein. Because Rabbi Yehuda Shiluach HaKein, Shalach Tisharach, exists as a mitzvah later, but it also exists as a mitzvah beforehand. So even though it's written after Lo Sika Chaim, it's called Kadmor Asay. That's one way it can be called Kadmor Asay. But the converse is equally true. Meaning to say, even if it's written, even if you can only fulfill the Asay, even if you can only fulfill it after the Lav, but the Torah put it in the Chumash, in front of the Lav, that's also a reason that it's not called a tikkun, it's not called a nituk, and the Torah would not, you would get malchus for the Lav, because the Torah puts it earlier. And that would be the explanation of the case of Tumas Migdash. Because the Torah writes the Shalchu before the Torah wrote the Lo Yitamash Machaneh. So according to what Ritva is saying now, this Yeshlomar, either way, you'd have a definition of Kadmol Asay to get malchus. In order, in other words, not to get Malkus, in order to be a slam dunk, lashanita glase, you need two things. What do you need, according to the Ritva, to be called lashanita glase, not to get Malkus? What do you need? You need that...
It needs to have
to be after the Lav in the Torah. And you could not have fulfilled the essay before you violated it. If either of those factors are missing, then they'd be Malkus, they'd be called Kadmol Asay. And therefore the Gemara works out, and all these other cases work out as well. What case would not work out, that the Ritva quoted within Rashi? What case do we have to revisit now? Of all the examples that we've so far spelled out, so far in Shir, what case still poses a difficulty now, according to the Ritva?
Zela.
Because over there, since the Torah has the Heshiv in Vayikra, which is way before the Losigzo of Kedoshim, so then by virtue of what Ritva is saying, that just the fact that the Torah puts the Asay before the Lav is enough to view it as Kadmol Asay, so why is that called Nitakles? That's still the Ritva did not address. That's Ritva did not address. On the other hand, according to Rashi, that would be good. Sigzo of Zelo would be good. Shiloh HaKein would be good, even according to Ritva's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. But the difficulty lies in the Gemara's case of Tumas Machanos. Over there, you couldn't have the Shalchu until you have the Lo Yitamu. But why would that be enough to make a Nitta Glase? The Ritva has another Teretz, and maybe that could help Rashi, but Ode. The Hashan Zimnin B'Kodem B'Maiseh B'Akira Salav Hanefki because he understands the Shavuot. There's the Ritzvah, you can have a situation where the person becomes Tame within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, and he has immediately a Mitzvah Bishalchu, and the Lo Yitamus Machaneim would therefore come after the Bishalchu, because he has a certain window of time he has to get out by. But Bishalchu, Lo Yitamus Machaneim is not violated that second, but Bishalchu right away exists at that moment. He became Tame, he touched the sheriff. Bishalchu right away kicks in. And so Yitamu doesn't kick in right yet. You have to be there for a certain amount of time. You have to be shown in the Beis HaMikdash a certain amount of time that would be a passive violation of Yitamu. But even before that time elapses that violates Yitamu, you immediately have a Bishalchu. So you could have a situation that you can have a Bishalchu that exists even prior to the violation of Yitamu. According to this, then that would be the reason why you can view this as a last Shabbat day, even though it's based on that criteria. That's the only criteria, and not written in the Chumash. Then you could always say that would be the reason. This is the Ritzvah. So we still have to answer the Ritzvah from Gezeila, right? That still has to be explained. L'maisa, back to Rashi. So the Ritzvah the Ritzvah's own shita, as we see in the first terrace of the Ritzvah, would be that in either of these ways, it could be a called Lashu Kadmo Asay and Anita Kasay. Either if it's written first in the Pasuk, the Asay before the Lav, or the Asay could have been fulfilled even without buying the Lav. That is the Ritzvah himself. The Ritzvah, the Das Rashi, is that the only criteria is if the Asay could be fulfilled without buying the Lav, that would be called Kadmo Asay. If the Asay could not be fulfilled until after buying the Lav, that's Kunita Kasay. That's the Ritzvah of the Das Rashi. The examples that he brings in Rashi, Nolitzer and Xela. The Maisa, there are Achronim, such as Aruch and Er, and Tzei Yeshua, I believe, also, they're not so convinced that Rashi means exactly what the Ritzvah seems to be saying, namely, that the only criteria would be if you can violate, if you can be kind of say without violating the Lav. There was that Vav that we noted when we read the Rashi. Question is, what do you make of that Vav? Rashi emphasizes very much the issue of whether you can be kind of say without violating the Lav. That's clearly relevant, according to Rashi, in the equation. The Shaila is that the only factor? Or maybe Rashi holds that you need two things, this is now going to be a different way to think about it, two things to make it Kadmo Asay. The first is that it has to be written first in the Torah. And that Rashi didn't even need to spend much time on, because you read the words of the Gemara and you understand that that's obvious, that Kadmo Asay requires that the Asay was written first in the Torah. Rashi would be saying, but that's insufficient. Just the fact that it's written first would not be sufficient to call it Kadmo Asay. You could also call it Nita Kasay even if it's written first. But if you now throw into the mix another factor on top of that, that the Asay could have been fulfilled without buying the Lav, then you would call it Kadmo Asay. Where do you see that in the Lashon of Rashi? In that Vav. In other words, Rashi says, So if the Asay comes after the Lav, that would be understood to be Nitag L'Asay. Avo, Asay, Shekadam Es Halav. Now, how do you read those words? Maybe those words mean Asay, Shekadam Es Halav, meaning if the Asay was written before the Lav, number one. Number two, V'ata Yochel Kaimo Kodan Averes Halav. If you have two conditions that are met, then we would call it Kadmo Asay. It would be the mirror image of what we said in the Ritzvah. Because what did the Ritzvah say according to what we explained? You need two conditions to call it Nitak L'Asay. If one of those conditions is not met, it automatically is used as a Kadmo Asay, you'll get Malki. In other words, if either the their say could be fulfilled before the lav is violated. Or, if the assay was written first, then it would be called cardinal assay. The way that we would be, that's one of the reading Rashi, it's going to be the other way around. The two conditions are required to call it cardinal assay to take it out of the category of nitak assay. If it's going to be one or the other, either the assay is written after the lav, or the assay can only be fulfilled after the lav is violated, then it's called nitak assay. When is it called cardinal assay? If you have two conditions, if number one, the assay is written before the lab, and number two, you can fulfill it even without violating the lab. That would be a different take on Rashi. That's Rabbi, how I believe the Aruch HaNer wanted to understand Rashi.
Rabbi?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hey, Jacob, sorry, I was calling. Is there any case where there could be a assay that's written before the lab that can only be done after?
So what would be an example of that? The example of that would be, but if it's written before, you can only do it after. So what would you do with Shiloh Machanos? At first glance, what would you say Shiloh Machanos? It's written before.
But it can only be done once you come into the Mikdash. That's the idea.
That would be the problem case. That we have to know what would be Rashi's answer for that, right? At first glance, according to the formula we just gave in Rashi, so that should be called Nitaklas, that should be called Nitaklasay, because you can only fulfill the assay after violating Lo Yitamu. But what would Rashi have to do? Rashi would have to do the same thing as if he would hold the only criterion is the other issue, which is the second teretz of the Ritzvah. That it's not Gemino could be if he was Nitma Bisnim, that would be Shalchu beforehand. That would be the Lashon of the Aruch HaNer. He says, well, see, he wants to say that it can depend on how you read the Gersa of Rashi. He says, Vadai will mikri lasu kadmo asei im losi nechtav asei kodim halav. You have to have, to start with, the fact that the asei is written first, which is what you have by the case of Shiloh Machanos. But Rashi says, Abo asei, that's what Rashi says, v'lachei diek Rashi. Abo asei se kodim es halav. But Rashi had a question, and we're going to now read the Tosus Smith. Rashi had a question from the case of Gezela that we spoke in. You see, if the only thing that matters is it's written before the lav, then what happens to Lo Sigzo? The Hashem is written before Lo Sigzo. And yet Lo Sigzo is called a Lashon Nitaklasei. So what do you make of that? So what would Rashi's answer be for Lo Sigzo? The answer is it fails the test of Kadmo Asei because of the other condition. Let's see. What's the extra tnai? So we have a chorus, two ways that one could have understood Rashi. Either Kadmo Asay is just a function of the fact that the Asay can be fulfilled even without violating the Lav, or we're saying now maybe Rashi also requires that the Kadmo in the written way it's written in the Chumash, but on top of that you also need that the fact that you could fulfill it before violating the Lav. According to the Ritzvah, it goes the other way around. According to the Ritzvah, it would be called Kadmo Asay in one of two possible ways, either if it's written in Chumash beforehand, even if you could fulfill it only after the Lav. On the other hand, even if it's written in the Chumash after the Lav, but you could fulfill it without violating the Lav, that would also be called Kadmos. Now let's get to Tosus and see how to understand. We have ambiguity in Rashi. Uchara in Tosus also something of ambiguity as well. The Tosus says, Kol osase she kadmo asei lokin olav, keim afek tosos, the halav tigzela she kadmo asei, the behavior is of Zerah Shabbazal. That's the passage by Yikra. That's before the Allah of those six oceans in Kedoshim. Vafirachi ain't woken Allah. And we all know there's no Malkish. Why? Because presumably it's a Lashon Nitaklasei. How could it be? It should be a Lashon Kadmolasei because it's written before. From Tosus Kasha, no doubt about it. How did Tosus understand the words of the Gemara? Shadowless, what is Tosis now asking? Is it a 180-degree turn, or is it only a 90-degree turn? What's Tosis saying in the text? Let's be careful of the lesson of Tosis. The Yeshloma, the shiny Gabilav Dixela, it's different. Now, from this lesson of Tosis, shiny sounds like, that's different. Shiny Gabilav Dixela. And what makes that different? What makes it a little different? So Tosfos now brings in the fact that you can't be Mekayda say until you violate the law. So Tosfos, that makes it different. That makes it different. And that's why it's still called Nita Glase. The Hilkach, now if I had to stop right now in the words of Tosfos, if I don't read another word of Tosfos, so what is the sense that you get in the words that you're reading in front of you? Shiny Gabilaki, does that mean Tosis is totally dismissing the original formulation of the understanding of the Kadmo Asay, throwing it out the window? We're saying, no. That's true. That's Kadmo Asay. But, Tosis is saying, in order to be Kadmo Asay, you need something else, and in that something else, Xela doesn't meet the other criteria. In other words, the Aruch HaNez, Pshat, and Rashi. What would you say if you stop right now in Tosfos and how, just in terms of the words? Shiny, does Tosfos mean to say the Ritvaz Pshat and Rashi or the Aruch Lener Pshat and Rashi?
Aruch Lener.
L'chara, shiny Xela sounds like, I understand what you're saying, but it's not enough. Xela still would be called Nitaka Asay because of the other fact that even though it's written before, they say it's written before, but Lemaisa, you couldn't fulfill the Heshiv if you didn't violate those things. But the shiny Gabi Labdik Zelash ain't a Kayamase Elacha Shigasa. Hilkach Lav Shinitak Me'olav, who, maybe Nitak Lash saying, the Magia probably the Russian here, Lav Shinitak Me'elav, it's a Nitak Omalia, they want to say, it's a Nitak, it's a Lash Shinitak Malia, it's a good Lash Shinitak Lash saying. Continues Tosfos, however, next part of Tosfos, Avo Kadmo de Kamar Hacha, but the Kadmo that the Gemara Yochanan is saying over here, Lav Dafka Kadmo, Lav Dafka Kadmo, Ela Hainu de Shayach, or Hainu Loma, just about Hainu Loma, de Shayach Hasei Kodmish Avar Alav. From the end of Tosfos, it's a little bit mashma, I would say, perhaps, that the Kadmo over here is Tosfos saying, what does Kadmo mean? The Shayach Hasei Kodem Shavar Alav. Does Tosfos mean totally that's the only thing it means? If you don't want it to be a steer b'nei obey in Tosfos Lashon, no, something's going to have to give a little bit. But what would Tosfos mean in the end? Kadmo to Kamacha, Lav Dafka Kadmo means it's not just a function of the Kadmo in the Pasuk. Elahainu Lomar, meaning it also includes the other thing. Although it doesn't say God, it doesn't say Ab, it's Hainu Lomar. Again, if you just take the end of Tosfos, you would say Hainu Lomar, and Tosfos is defining Kadmo from the perspective of could you be kind of say without violating the law. But then it wouldn't be a shiny Gabi Gzela. It would be that Gzela is a perfect example of Kadmo Asay from that perspective, and that's the only thing that matters. So in Tosfos, it's a little bit hard to pin down. The beginning lesson of Tosfos says this shiny Gabi Labi Gzela sounds like the definition of what you said in the Kasha is not irrelevant. It is relevant, but it's not the whole story. And therefore, Gabi Gzela, where you can kind of say only after violating the law, it's still Konita Blasphem. From the end of Tosfos, this Hainu Lomar, this Shayach, sounds like the focus of Rabbi Yochanan is that of whether you can kind of say before or not. And he seems to ignore the other point. So again, you have to know, the stronger mashmos in the beginning of Tosfos Teretz is more like the Aruch Lener B'das Rashi. The end of Tosfos is a little harder to fit in. Even though for Tosfos it's a little bit ambiguous, Rabbeinu Peretz Bechora is more pashut. Rabbeinu Peretz, I think it's unequivocal in what how he says it. You look at Rabbeinu Peretz's Lashon on the same Kasha, the same Lashono. Kolosasis a kdimu asay lokin. Perus. Notice how he does it. Up front and center. He quotes Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Perus, I'm explaining to you. Lo sase, the efshel of Siabra Alav. Dehei chidami nitok, what is called nitok? Kigon shveifas nosa. That's called nitok. What else is called nitok? Ala shalash gezela. Classic nitok is nosa and gezela. What is the criteria for nitok in those cases?
Nice.
The iyaf shalah aseles kaim alaf ashabra alav. Uka hagavna vade havi nitok. Where told me, Malchus, it's not called a tikkun, it's going to be called molestay. When do we say that? If the assay and the lav are written in the same section of the Torah, the same parasha, the same paragraph. You know, the Torah is divided into parashas tshuchos, parashas sedumos. Whenever you have a break in the Sefer Torah, either of nine letters or you go to the next line, that's a new parasha. So if within the same parasha in the Torah speaks about a particular situation with a los assay and assay, and if the assay is deficient in that section internally, before the lav is mentioned, such as the case of Shiloh Machanos, right, where it says Mishalchu, and it says a few psukim later in the same paragraph, the Lo Yitamush Machaneya, that's going to define it as a Lashon Kodmo Lashon, either as the sole criteria or as one of the criteria that's sufficient to tag it as a Lashon Kodmo Lashon. What's different about Gezeila is the following. Parshas Kedoshim is a separate parsha, many, many parshios removed, parshios meaning paragraphs, from parshios Vayikra, where it says Losigza, where it says Beheshev, rather. So Losigza is in Kedoshim, Beheshev is in Vayikra. It's true that in the Torah, there's Beheshev before Losigza. But we also know the rule of Pesachim Dazav, next year, if it's in Pesachim Dazav, Ein Mukta Melucha BaTorah. We know that there's no chronology in the Torah. But the Gemara there qualifies it. It comes up actually in the coming up, and we have Parshas Bamidbar and past Shabbos. We have Parshas Baloscha coming up as soon. So the Gemara learns out that Ein Mukta Melucha BaTorah, because the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar opens with a Tzivoy to count the Bnei Yisrael. When was that Tzivoy given? When did Hashem tell Moshe to count, to do a census? On the first of which month? No, we're both saying. Parshas of Yom HaBeSeves.
Iyar,
yeah. And then you have Parshas Baloska, the Parsha Hashem says on Chodesh HaRishon that they should bring the Pesach on the first year after the first Karban Pesach, and the anniversary of the first Karban Pesach, then to bring the Karban Pesach now in the Midbar. And that was given in Rosh Chodesh Nisan that they should bring the Pesach on Yudal Nisan. So you have Parshas Baloska that's going back in time to the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. But the Gemara says, you see, Ein Mukta Melucha BaTorah. That's the classic marker in the Gemara. The Gemara qualifies and says, when is that true? Betray and Yoni. There's Rashi, two parshios. Two parshios, Ein Mukta Melucha BaTorah. However, within one parsha, then we say, my the Mukta, Mukta, my the Melucha, the Melucha, Melucha. There's the Aruch HaNes, that's the Gemara Sari. Talking about one internal parsha, then we have to look at the sequence, and the sequence matters. If the essay is written before the lav, that's called Kadmo essay. However, I have two separate parshios, since we know in Mukta Melucha BaTorah, who's to say that the Heshiv preceded Losigzo? But all we know in Mukta Melucha BaTorah. Maybe, you know, maybe the Heshiv came after Losigzo, because it's two separate parshios. And therefore, you can't work with the formulation of Kadmo essay anymore from the perspective of Kadmo Asif. All we know is really Nitzakas, so you can't give a Malkus. But the way that some presented, I don't know if you have to say it this way, Nisatik, you can't give Malkus, because maybe the Hesha really belongs after those things, though. I don't know if I would have said it that way, but that's how I think it works. If he says it, you can take a look, and there, remember it works. The Maestro, the point is that if it's two parashios, then you don't go with the notion of Kadmo Asif and Ksiva, because they're two separate parashios. That is one text. I want to say another svara, which I think is going to open up the Indian much more in terms of, someone was asking before, this Jonathan was asking, the Gedder Hadover Kadmo of Nita Glase. You know, you asked me for what is Onesh mean? The emphasis, we're going to have to try to understand this more carefully as we go along. What exactly is the Gedder of Nita Glase not getting Malkus? So, obviously, at some level, the idea being, like Rashi says, that the assay is meant to be a tikkun, a remedy, a corrective to the lav. Okay, we understand. In terms of, this is your onesh, these are your instructions, you are absolved of any other consequences, just do this and you'll be put. Let's understand, however. There are different types of nitos. There are different types of situations of an assay that you could say is now coming as a remedy for after the fact that you Amun Chaver. That's the definition of the Aver. When you do behesiv, you are in a certain way being oker. I can't say with a stay exactly, but in some way conceptually, you're undoing the crime. Because the crime was you took Mamun Chavero, and now the Mamun Chavero that you took is back by it. Okay, during the time that you had it, you can't reverse it, you can't go back in time. But the Yesod of the Aseira was you took Mamun Chavero. The Yesod of the Asei is that you're giving back the Mamun Chavero. So the Tikkun of the Heshiv is much more of, you could say, a Tikkun of an Akira of the Lav. It's a stronger level tikkun than the other examples that we might think about of Nita Glashe. And it could be that that would be the answer for the mitzvah why you don't have a kasha from Gevela. Because in a Chinami, from all the other rules that we might say, maybe it would be called Kadmo Asei because after all, it's written the Heshiv before. But to the extent that it's so obvious in front of you that the Heshiv is okay, the lab in a certain way. It's reversing, it's undoing the Gzela, the Mamun Chavero. There it remains Nita Glashe, notwithstanding the fact that it doesn't quite fit the criteria otherwise, because it's a stronger Nita. The stronger the Nita, the more obvious to see that you're remedying the situation, the less that these requirements matter. And I didn't invent the Svara on my own. Let me tell you, I was led to this Matosus and Stubus. I want to end already. It's late. I apologize. We're late. We got a little caught up in the beginning with the technology. But if you look at the Tosus, I don't want to hold you by both sides. If you look at the Tosus and Stubus, Lamed Beis on the days, cannot this Svara, you'll find the Tosus, Dibur HaMashu Shelo Hashem. If you want to have a Gavdalid and look at that Tosus in that connection, you'll see it. The Reed says, such a Svara. In terms of Pshat in the Mishnah, Davdali, you'll have to see it. He says, when it comes to Kasha Zaman, to pay money, you're not okay the lav of Losana. You're not okay the Losana through doing the moment, giving the moment Kasha Zaman. However, he says, by the case of Zela, it's, even if it doesn't necessarily count as Nitok Lasei from other standards, but here it's obviously a Nitok. So it's Oter Gzela Mitachas Yodam. I would use that Svara and answer it to our sugi as well, even though it would be maybe called Kadmo Lasei from the perspective of the Pasuk, leaving out the other terrors of the Arachunah because they moved the Muluchabat Torah, even if you don't say that. But it's such an obvious type of Nitok, you Oter Gzela Mitachas Yodam, there it remains a Rasha Nitok Lasei anyway. Okay, Rabosai, have a wonderful day, everybody. Learn well, learn your shock, and enjoy everything you're doing. Be well.
Okay. Thank you, Rebbe.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Rebbe,
We saw that he was talking about a suffix. About the hatred of Zela since Mukham Muktam.
I would not have said it that way. It's a strange way to put it. I would have said it a little differently.
According to that, then, if someone does steal, then even after he returns the money, he should still have to do tshuva. Because if the suffix were going to cool, it doesn't get Malchus, but maybe the other way.
Yeah, good question. Look, the embassy is even after everything is said and done. When we talk about Lav Hanita Glase, not to get Malchus, does that mean that he doesn't need tshuva? Kamasho. Rambam says that a person steals, he has to be asked mechila from the person. Rambam goes to tshuva. So l'chaira, even giving back the money, doesn't undo the crime from that perspective. That's anyway true. So when I said at the end of Shia that you're okay, I don't mean it from the perspective of tshuva. I should have even mentioned that. Tshuva you need, and in Bakashas mechila you'll need. But there is a certain measure of a reversing of the crime, even though you still need to make amends in other ways.
Right, okay. I was just thinking, if you play that stuff like the other way, is there any other nafkaminas?
If what?
The Avner said it's a suffix, so therefore you don't give Malchus. So the other way, I was assuming that, I guess, if it is a true Lavanita Lassin, then you don't need tshuva, then this, since it's a suffix only, if it is a Lavanita Lassin, then you wouldn't need tshuva.
Right.
still. But you need Shuva anyways.
Yeah, Shuva anyways. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Everybody
good? Well, we're doing well.
Okay.
Rebbe, could you maybe read Tosos within this Yesod that Rebbe just said at the end, and then maybe it's not so schwer that you could say that first Tosos is saying that Gezela is the Lashnita Lase Legabe Gezela is a much different one than all other Lashnita Lase is because this one's Ma'al Yehu. This one's much more strong, like Rebbe was saying from that Tosos. And then, but Aval, either way, it doesn't even matter because in general it's just about the Maisa. So it's two and steps.
The reason why I don't want to read it because Tosus doesn't say it as strongly. He just says, Eil Kaima Seilach HaShegadzla. He doesn't say the Lashon of the Ri in Ksubas Amidei to Oker Agzeila Mitachas Yado. He doesn't say like that. He says, it's shiny because Eil Kaim El HaShegadzla. He should have said, well, it's not just Eil Kaim HaShegadzla. I can have other cases like that. Eil Kaim El HaShegadzla. You should say it's a whole different level of tikkun, and then you open the Kiyam Tachas Yado, it's a different type of it, it's a higher level tikkun. The Master of the Tosus Shans puts on the same category as, if you remember, the what examples that he brings together with Zayla?
No, sir.
Well, no, sir. Right, the way that we're saying it's not the same as no, sir, it's higher than no, sir. But Tosus doesn't quote no, sir, but the ring of Tosus' words is basically the level of no, sir. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying it's beyond no, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir, type of tikkun, you needed the fact that the Torah put the essay after the lab. But the tikkun of Zeva, it could even be written before because it's a higher level
tikkun. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shkai, thank you.
Okay, how are you, Yonasan? Everything worked out? Yes. If you'd rather speak on the phone, that's fine. Oh, you stopped the recording?
No. You're recording, yeah.
You stopped the recording?
Yeah.